Hey Potters, welcome to episode 209 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! Quarantine Part Infinite Edition.
Your woohoo was so loud you cut out. Oops.
Even our recording programs can't take my enthusiasm. That's a compliment.
You are way too enthusiastic for this Friday, May 1st.
Well, you know, I did get a chance to go out of the apartment today. I mean, I do this every week. I go and procure myself food so that I can survive. But there were a lot more cars on the street. There were plenty more people around. The personnel inside the store were, you know, much more upbeat. It's kind of like everybody's finally getting into it because they can get out of the house for a little bit. And maybe there's just a little bit of hope.
Maybe just a smidge.
Yeah, things are still obviously bad. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. There are still far too many people dying. There are still far too many problems that we're not solving. But it looks like people are trying to make the best of a bad situation, which realistically is all you can do.
Yeah, right now it seems, at least on the convention front, more of them are getting canceled or postponed. A lot of them are just postponing until next year, which is probably the safest bet. I think the only big cons in the U.S. this year that are still on, but, you know, that's subject to debate at this point, Dragon Con is still listed. They're still okay because it's Labor Day, so we still got a couple of months. I have not heard a single peep about PAX West whatsoever, so I don't know if
they're
going to try.
Last I checked on their website, it said registration is still pending.
Yeah, so we don't know. That's hard to say. And with West, it does take them a little bit of time to put those tickets up for sale, so who knows for sure? Question mark? I don't know. It'll be something.
I fully anticipate that most of the conventions are just flat out going to delay.
Yeah, if not outright cancel.
Yeah, there's honestly no sense in holding one, at least in my own opinion, simply because, yeah, you can hold the convention. The problem is that your attendance is probably going to be so low that you're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not a point in doing so, because if you're going to lose money one way or another, just due to deposits and liability insurance and such, you may as well just delay it and then try and make the best deal you can with your vendors, basically.
It seems that...
I don't know about you, but I'm scared. I don't want to go.
I ain't going because I am immune compromised.
I mean,
so
I want to go, but like you...
No.
Yeah, we're both in the high-risk category. So as much as my social self wants to go, my health self says no.
Yeah, that's my plan too, Allie, is I'm just not going to, even if one pops up that I've been wanting to go to and it's like, ooh, it's later in the year, it might be okay, I'm not going to chance it. I think at this point, so many of us in the convention community have realized that it's not worth trying this year. Let's just wait till next year. Let's get things under control. We can come back. It's fine.
Yep. There's always digital cons, and there have been plenty of those. And of course, conventions can always stream content, too.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of them have been doing, is they're having these fun little events. We've been seeing some more cosplay contests pop up, and some of them are just really silly, like, fun awardy prizes. Some of them are actually giving away some decent stuff, so it's like, okay, it's worth checking out some of those. Because, yeah, part of the reason why our topic today is because of a panel I held for a convention. So there we go.
Yes. Now I kind of want to have a con called Paneldemic.
Oh, that's horrible. Really funny, but also horrible.
I am a terrible, terrible person.
You have really beautiful puns, though, so it kind of balances out.
I'm copywriting that. Paneldemic is mine.
So hey,
nobody else can have it.
What have you been working on for cosplay?
Yeah, speaking of cosplay and staying home and watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, there hasn't been too much online content that I've been able to watch. A lot of it just ends up being kind of recycled content, so I just kind of put something on in the background. If ever I see that a big name cosplayer or teacher like Evil Ted Smith or Punished Props or someone is going to be streaming, I do generally try and catch them.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
But sometimes it's just not at the time of day where I can do so because, you know, I still have to work. But what I've been working on with things running in the background is I have finished Prepare Your Eyes. shiny lens flare.
Blocking the eyes.
I have assembled, you can see. I have assembled the corset. It is fully assembled, aside from the ties in the back. And the reason I have not assembled the ties in the back is because, in at least good personal news, I've lost some weight. I still have quite a bit more than I need to lose, according to my doctor. But I actually need to slice about 2 inches off of either side of this. And that is why I have not finished off the ends. So, in fact, I actually have to figure out, since the way this is constructed, there you can see the back. And you can see it's all wrapped, envelope style. Normally what I would do is I would take this nice little flap of fabric right here, and I would fold it over like so, and then get a nice finished edge, because then it looks nice and finished on the outside. You get this nice rounded edge instead of, you know, a flat, terrible, fun foamy type edge. Well, unfortunately, when I slice fabric off, I'm not going to have this, or when I slice 2 inches off, like here, I'm not going to have this nice overhang anymore, which means I'm going to have a very raw edge of foam, which was, you know, the whole point of me wrapping fabric around the foam is to avoid that problem. So I'm going to have to figure out what I want to do with that. Either way, I'm going to have to remove about 2 inches from either side of this. But I can either take some really beautiful Jacquard paint. No, they're not a sponsor of the show. I just happen to like Jacquard paint. I can take paint and I can just paint the edge. And Jacquard gold is actually pretty much the same color as this.
Yeah.
And it's nearly as shiny.
Can't
confirm. So I can either paint the edge, and then I would have to heat seal it, because you have to heat seal Jacquard paint. It's not like standard paint. Or I'm going to have to get another scrap of this fabric, which I do have plenty of, because, you know, I measured twice and cut once, and wrap the edge and then do the cording. I really kind of wish that I could do a busk on this, like an actual busk.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel kind of bad, because this is just fun foam and fabric, and I would be using this really nice busk on a costume piece, as opposed to like something really nice and expensive that I would wear to fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. If I happen upon like an inexpensive plastic busk, I might think about it, as long as it's sturdy enough to take stress of ties. But otherwise, I think I'm just going to use Meow About Cosplay's technique, and I'll just have to figure out some way of covering up my raw edges. I'm trying really hard not to hot glue things together.
Please don't hot glue.
Because we know how that turns out.
It will turn out
well. Especially where it comes to raw edges.
Allie asked a question. Busk? Question mark.
So a busk is usually it's a piece of metal, but it can also be made of wood or plastic. It is a strip that has little loops on it. And it's used to give not only a place for you to tie a corset shut or like buckle or secure it shut, but it also adds strength to the seam in the corset, because if you've ever worn a corset, you know that generally they are tied tightly, and it puts a lot of stress on all of the seams, like all of the seams. That's partially why you put boning in there, is to give it structure and to give it strength.
Mm-hmm.
So the busk also helps with that. You can generally purchase busks from corset shops or shops that have corset hardware. They're not really all that expensive.
Yeah.
For, you know, for being what they are, just with shipping, it tends to be a little more expensive.
It does, yeah.
Especially if you're only getting one. Because I'd realistically only be getting one.
And they usually sell them only as individuals, because unless you're a right. professional corset maker, how often are you going to be using a busk? Probably very rare to never.
And of course, a busk has two sides.
Mm-hmm.
As you have to tie across. Typically, it's either in the front or in the
The
back.
back, yeah. I was going to say, usually you see a front busk or a back busk.
Right. You won't typically see them on the side.
No, I don't think I've ever seen one on the
Side
side.
tying a course that would be really difficult anyway.
I've seen them, like, I haven't seen anybody do it with the busk, but I've done side tying before, and that hasn't been too bad. But what we do is we put ties on both sides, so that way it's easier to get a better fit.
Yes. I've actually seen it with ties in front, back, and sides, and
Oh,
generally
wow.
it's done with Renaissance waistlets, and generally what people will do with those is that they'll tie the sides to the width that they want them and then leave them that way and adjust using the front or the back,
That
even
makes
though there
sense.
are ties on the side. It's a little bit less to have to deal with. Wave rod, no.
Yes.
There is no singing. There will not be any singing until you guys get 20 ratings and reviews on our iTunes page.
Please don't.
Also, I do not sing because I sound terrible. This is why I
Same.
play instruments. I sing through my instrument. For those who don't know, busking is also musicianing. Yeah, that's not a word, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's
It works.
musicianing on a street corner for money.
There you go.
Yes, so that is what I have been working on. I pretty much wore my poor little sharp needle out. It no longer has very much of a point anymore
Aw.
because I drove it through the spandex with pliers. It's because on the edges, on the very, very tips of the seams, I folded over all the edges, including the overlays. So I had to stitch a little bit through hot glue. That's why I had to use pliers.
Oh, that
It wasn't
hurts.
far, but I wanted to have neat edges all the way around because I didn't know if I was going to need that overlap. It's one of those things where I cut the fabric much larger than I needed it just in case, because I didn't know when I'd be able to get more of it since Joann's has been closed along with everything else.
You saw the
So there
face
you
I
go.
was making, right? It was just a
Yes.
very sad, depressed face.
Yes, I did. Thankfully, I have plenty more needles where that came from.
How you just whipped that out.
Well, I have all my sewing supplies sitting at my desk because this is where I play things in the background as I'm sitting here sewing at my desk.
Right.
So I have a great deal. If you could see my desk, you'd see I have all my sewing supplies laid out on my desk and my tomato of pins. See, there's my tomato of
Here's
pins.
the tomato. Oh God, your tomato looks like Pinhead.
I had to use a lot of pins.
Okay, and mine's just full of thread. There's not many pins, but there's a lot of thread in here.
This is my voodoo tomato. It
Really
is
want to make a
full of
new one.
pins. And well, to be fair, I got one of those boxes from Christmases many, many years ago that had 1,000 pins in it.
Of course.
So I have enough pins, and they're not all in my tomato right now. There's actually several hundred still in the box.
Boxes, yeah. Oh yeah, my boxes of pins, it would never fit in that tomato. Ooh.
Yeah, no. This is as many pins as I could reasonably fit in my tomato, and the rest are still in the
Oh, you could add way more, trust me.
But, in addition to my tomato, I also have boxes of pins sitting next to it, so it's not like those are the only pins I have out. Yes, I have plenty of pins, plenty of sewing supplies, and of course my beautiful gold thread that I've been using for this very special project.
It's a
So now
good
I
thread. I
will,
like that one.
yeah, the Sulky thread is actually really solid. I like it better than the Coates and Clark.
Yep, same.
Of course, you also get what you pay for. So my next step is going to be working with foam again because I need to do the overlay, the ornamentation for the corset, along with doing the ties in the back, final adjustment, gemming it up, bejeweling it, bedazzling it, if you will.
Dazzle. Bling it.
Yes. I have to make the whole thing shiny.
Yeah, you do.
Yes. And then I can get going on the dress, which it'll be really good timing since we're basically about to start summer. And it is a halter top dress.
Oh, nice.
That's what I've been doing. How about you?
Nothing.
No. Wave Rod, an EVA mask would only be foaming at the mouth if the whole thing was made of EVA foam and if the mask covered your mouth. Because there are such things as half masks that are only the upper half.
Okay, it took me a moment to figure out what you were saying. Now I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's only going to foam at the mouth if it touches the mouth. If it's at the mouth.
Lulz. Okay, now I gotcha.
Yeah. I have too many, experiences having to go to the store for the what do they call it? Masquerade mask. And the only things that you could find were like the upper full face masks, almost like a Phantom of the Opera style. They didn't have any masquerade, like the smaller masks. And they had full face masks, but that was it. And it was because everybody else and their brother was apparently making masquerade masks and selling them.
Of course. That
They
sounds about
bought up all the
right.
supplies and didn't leave anything else.
So.
All right. So with that, we will move on to today's topic.
Yay, today's topic, which is actually pretty straightforward. We're going to do a Q&A on cosplay contest questions. And this is all stuff that I've received in my email or through my social media profiles after I had my Eridanicon panel, which was about cosplay contests. So I thought it'd be kind of fun if we just answered the questions live and gave both of our opinions to help people out. Because between the two of us and our ungodly amount of experience at cosplay contests in every way, shape, and form possible, we have seen and experienced everything.
We have competed in them. We have covered the backstage of them as press. We have planned them. We have run them. We have hosted them. I think we've done every part of the
I've been
process.
staff as them too.
Full circle.
Full circle. It's a circle of life. So I don't have names attached to these, so I'm going to go ahead and start reading off the questions one at a time. And here's the first one on the screen. It is, should I focus on popular animes or video games for my cosplay?
Is that like asking A or B, or is that asking these or something else?
These are something else. Like, should I have the popular costume or should I have
Got it.
whatever I want to wear.
Well, so here's the thing, is that when you're being judged for a costume, whether by the audience or judges, if they don't know your costume, they're going to have a little bit harder of a time judging it in terms of accuracy and for things like audience favorite, because the audience isn't going to know who the heck you are. I'm not saying that that is a bad thing, because some of the most obscure costumes I've seen where I have no idea, like, even what series it's from, have been some of the most beautiful, and then I go look it up later because it's like, oh, that looks so cool. I want to see this video game now. So, if that's the sort of thing that concerns you, or that if you're going for an audience favorite award, yeah, you're probably going to need to cosplay something a little bit more meaningful.
But when you think about it in the long run, like it's one audience favorite award versus like the 10 other things that you could possibly win if you pick a costume that you really, really want to make. And I think at the end of the day, if it's something that you really want and you want to wear it because you love the character, do that. Because you're going to put much more time and effort and energy into it versus a one-off of, hey, this is a popular series. Let me work off that popularity. Because the judges don't care about popular stuff at the end of the day. They just care about how well executed the craftsmanship of that costume is.
I saw We Are the Farmers Insurance of Cosplay Contests. It's,
Oh.
we've seen a thing or two
We really
about
have.
cosplay contests.
We really truly have.
Please don't sue us for copyright.
Right. Okay, so next
All right,
question,
next
but
question.
gonna get it up on the screen. Will I get penalized for wearing glasses?
No.
I don't think I need
That's
to
the
zoom
long and
back for
short of
us.
that.
It's a pretty straightforward one. I mean, Amber and I both wear glasses. No, you're not gonna get
I
penalized.
mean, you can't help your eyesight.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need your eyeglasses to see where you are going for safety reasons, no,
No.
they they won't penalize you for that.
They will never take off points for that whatsoever. Just keep your glasses on. It's for safety reasons. It's for health and medical reasons. You're fine.
I will tell you the one time, you know, speaking of cosplay contests, that I did walk a stage without my glasses on, when we did Rava from Legend of Korra, and I could not see where to step. The only thing I could see was the really large X's on the stage, and that's only because they were in a contrasting color to the color of the stage. If they had used like glow in the dark tape or like
Oh, yeah.
yellow or pink or something, I wouldn't have been able to see it. So, in hindsight, not a great idea. Please wear your glasses so you don't literally like risk falling off a stage.
Exactly. We don't want anyone to hurt themselves. The glasses are not going to count against you, promise.
Yeah, please don't.
Right, next question. Can judges tell if something is commissioned or purchased?
Yes.
Absolutely, 150% without a doubt.
Now, if you are a highly skilled cosplayer who has competed many times and you commission from someone else who is also very skilled and has competed many times, maybe not. But generally, judges can tell.
We can tell. Either we can tell because of the way the costume is put together, or depending on your answers, too. If you're not able to describe a technique, or if you don't know the names of a technique, that's usually a red flag for us for saying, yeah, these are French seams, but you don't know what a French seam is. That's a problem. So don't lie to the judges, first off. If you purchase something or you commission something, tell us. Just tell us. It's okay. It's better that way. We're not going to yell at you. We're not going to get mad at you. Just tell us the truth. That's all.
You know, they don't deduct points for it being purchased.
It may knock you out of
And
a couple of award categories, but.
it just means you don't gain points
Yeah.
for craftsmanship, but they don't deduct points for it. So you can't lose anything by being upfront about it, but you can lose your privilege of competing if you lie.
Absolutely.
Because conventions can disallow you from competing at their pleasure.
So
But
yes,
yeah,
we can tell.
we can tell.
We can totally tell. Right, moving on to the next question. Are original characters okay?
Yes.
They are definitely okay, but it also depends on the contest because there are some that are kind of anti-OC, or I know some anime cons that are very strictly like Japanese only oriented content are like it needs to be an existing property from Japan only. So you have to be kind of careful with that. But a lot
Some are
of places,
themed too.
yeah, some of them are themed too, but a lot of places they're really chill about like, yeah, you have an original character? Bring it along. Really, the only thing is when it comes to references, because the judge has got to you define what the accuracy of that character is, make sure you draw out something or you hire an artist to draw out what the character is for you, so that way there is a reference between, you know, the final piece and the image, so we have something to judge on.
Yes, and preferably multiple perspectives.
Yes, please.
Yeah, basically they need something to compare to. Did you achieve your goal in making this costume? But nothing wrong with it.
I've seen original characters win stuff before.
Yeah.
People come up with some really cool things.
Especially if you're doing casual riffs, if you're doing formal riffs, if you're
Right.
placing a character in another universe, or just a completely original character, like there are entire universes of certain interstellar conflicts where original characters abound.
Just, you know, one or two or 50 there. Okay, next question is, so you mentioned something about how the top prize can be decided by a point on the stage. Can you explain more? So for this particular
We've
question,
literally had that happen.
we've had this happen. I've been in these situations before. So when I gave the presentation, it was basically this was the portion about the runway presentation. You know, how you walk and pose makes a big difference. And truly, it does make a di big difference because how you act on the stage, how you engage the audience and the judges and become the character can be the difference between a winning point and winning a prize and not getting anything whatsoever. It can be that close because craftsmanship, you can only judge so much. Because if you have two perfect costumes, how do you compare them? What can you do? And it becomes down to the performance. The performance aspect can make or break.
And remember that you generally only have about 5 minutes total
If you're
to
lucky.
show off the costume. No, I mean like both prejudging and on the stage, like
Oh.
everything together, because you get
If you're
about
lucky.
2.5 minutes in front of the judges if you're lucky, and then you get about 30 seconds on the stage, maybe 60
If
seconds.
you're really lucky.
Yeah, well, actually, most people don't even take up all 30 seconds anyway.
No, they don't.
But that's how long you have to show off your work. And remember that these are cosplay contests, not costume contests. And the difference is that cosplay is a performance art. Costuming is a technical art. So if you're in a cosplay contest, part of the contest is the performance of the character. And if you're not the dramatic type, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, heaven knows I am not the dramatic type. You can always ask somebody else to demo your costume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We have people who commission costumes from others, and the creator of the costume will come and talk about it during the judging, and the person wearing it will perform on the stage. That's perfectly fine. And if you are, doing it the other way around, if you make a costume that you're really proud of, but you just don't feel comfortable showing it off, you can have someone else do that for you and do the performative aspect. Perfectly cool. But you have to take that into account when you're scoring for costumes, because when you're comparing those two gorgeous costumes, each with different techniques and different classes of skill, and you have nothing else to really compare on because it's apples and oranges, it's just like, well, how do they both taste?
Pretty
Which is your
much.
stage performance.
Remember, you got to focus on the play portion as well as the cause side of it.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. Okay, so next question I have is, I didn't understand about your simple costume comment. How can those win prizes? Which I think for us, that should be a fairly straightforward thing is we go to a convention, we sit through a masquerade, we see all these cool mechs and these armor builds and blah, blah, blah. And then someone with the schoolgirl outfit is the one that happens to take best in show. How can something like that win? And really, that one comes down to craftsmanship in the judging room. Because what you guys see out on the stage does not represent what's actually happening underneath the garment. How well it's put together, is it with duct tape and hot glue, or was it stapled together?
Staples.
Yeah, staples, safety pin. I've seen many, many safety pins, and I'm just like, oh, please don't do that.
Even something as simple as, did you line it?
Yeah.
Do you have raw seams? Did you use appropriate fabrics? Sometimes the simplest costumes incorporate mass amounts of research into the historical background of the fabrics and the character that you don't even see in the judging room.
Right.
Unless they bring you a binder, effectively, or a the background on the cosplay, and they show you, here's all the research I did on this to make sure it was historically accurate. That's impressive. And you don't even see it physically in the costume.
A lot of the times with the simple costumes, I still argue is the simple ones are the most difficult to make because you can see all the flaws on simple costumes. You know where everything is incorrect or not done properly, or if the hem is a little bit wonky, you have to make everything pretty darn perfect because it will stand out. Whereas if it's something like an armor build, yeah, if you have a little oopsie, you can just hot glue it together on the inside or slap some duct tape on it. Who's really going to see it until you take it off? No
You
one's
can
going to.
cover it up.
You can cover that up. You can't do that with a simple schoolgirl outfit. So when you see one that is made perfectly, that is astounding.
Plus, the simple costumes are usually done by the cosplayer themselves. Whereas when you have the fancier builds, they've usually either purchased components or commissioned them or gotten them from somewhere else.
Yeah, or it's a big team build, so you have multiple people working on it with different skill levels involved.
And not that that's a bad thing. Mm-mm. We're not criticizing that. Simply that it's more impressive if a single person did everything on a costume as opposed to multiple people working on that costume, because it shows a certain level of dedication.
Yeah, so the TLDR on that is it really comes down to how the costume is made and how well the finishings are. And the big mech costumes still win, absolutely, without a doubt. But it's also because they're made so incredibly well that they've earned that win.
There are always mechs at World Cosplay Summit.
Every single time.
And they're always impressive. Every single year. Go watch.
It's definitely worth watching those, because those are the, especially yeah. those, because they have to do a skit and a performance, and those are pieces that have to travel with them. They got to get yep. beaten up. They got to get thrown around by TSA. They got to make sure that they come apart and come back together with ease.
Yep.
All right. So our next question is, does it help to have a list of materials of the costume for the judges? I would say yes and no. It's kind of a rough question to answer. Is it kind of cool to know what all the materials are? Yeah, if you've got a contest where it's like a creativity award and you made your prop out of some really unusual, funky household items, please give us a material list, because that's what's going to get you that award.
Or if it's something that's, for example, historically accurate.
Yes, absolutely.
Or if you made it yourself.
Yeah.
There are some people who can do things like make lace. If you made it, yes, I
Please.
Want you to tell me that. And then I want you to teach me how.
And then teach us all the things. Because that's the fun yes. part when judging is you see someone come in with this armor build and they make it out of like toilet paper rolls or something. And then the entire discussion becomes, can you teach us how to do this? Because that's cool. And then you know you got us hooked. Okay, so next question. If I'm a larger size, can I modify a costume, or should I focus on accuracy?
Modify, please, for the love of all that is holy. I am a plus-sized woman. Please modify it. We want you to be comfortable as judges. We can tell when something does not fit well. And you may actually not get as many points in craftsmanship if something is poorly tailored. We're actually more impressed as judges if you take the time to tailor it well, because it looks much crisper and much neater as a costume. It looks like you took time. Plus, you know, we want you to breathe. I have worn poorly fitting costumes for the sake of the stage. It is not cool. I will tell you, it is definitely not healthy. Please don't.
Please don't. Well, and you think about things like video games and anime and manga, and a lot of times they don't show seams. It's like right. it's just they're wrapped in fabric or little to no fabric with no possible way of getting in and out of the garment. That's not logical. We're living.
They don't shower.
Yeah.
They don't use the bathroom.
No. They sometimes eat, but sometimes they don't eat. It depends. They never get any food on them.
They never take the armor off.
Nope.
Which means they also apparently sleep in it.
Yeah. That must be very comfortable.
Yes. So.
But I mean, it's in seriousness though, I mean, you have to have a way of getting in and out of the garment and the armor and all that stuff. You're going to have to put in zippers and snaps and buttons and all of those things. We know this is human beings, so you're not going to be penalized for adding in a seam line so you can get in and out of the garments or so it can fit you properly. It is completely okay. We want you to fit it to you and your body shape. It's not about the accuracy at that point.
Well, some of these characters don't even really have human proportions.
No. I mean, you look at something like Bayonetta, which I've done Bayonetta and Jean, and they're just these 8-foot freakishly tall women. There is no possible way in any logical, sane universe that they would exist. So, of course, I had to make a lot of adjustments to those costumes so I could kind of emulate the look without actually being an 8-foot glamazon. Because it ain't gonna happen that way. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and move on to the next question. Can I enter a bunch of contests with one costume?
It depends.
That's the fun gray area. We've actually had a episode about this called sandbagging. and
Yes.
the not so greatness of sandbagging. It really depends on the contest and their rules. But I would say in general, it's best not to do that. Because it looks like that you're trying to cheat everybody else out of their hard-earned work.
I could see it if you entered multiple contests and you changed something about the costume every time, so
Yeah.
you're perpetually trying to improve it.
Yeah, if you're modifying the
Okay.
costume, or if you are starting at a very small con and you're working your way up, that's fine. I have no problems with that whatsoever. It's if you like took your costume to San Diego Comic-Con, won the big prize there, and then you went to a bunch of local small cons that were like 500 to 1,000 people, and you just swept all the prizes, that's sandbagging. That's a big no-no. You cannot do that. That's no.
I would more or less say, at least for my own personal opinion, once you win a prize with a costume, stop.
Yes, agreed.
Now, you can continue to enter that costume as long as you're not competing. So if you're just doing a stage walk, you just want to show off, I'm cool with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, showing off your costume for a catwalk across the stage, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But I would say don't compete once you've won. Just give other people a shot as well, because there are plenty of really talented costumers, and it takes a lot of guts to get up on the stage.
And like I understand, like you put a lot of time and money and effort into making and building your costume, so you want to show it off as much as possible. You can still show it off, that's fine. It's just you got to be considerate of the fact that there's only so many prizes out there, and there are hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of con thousands of thousands of cosplayers who all want the same opportunities and are just as talented as you are. And they all deserve to have a chance. For me, it's if you modify your costume enough, I'm not saying like you change out one part. Like, oh, I just fixed my glove, so now it's a new costume. No. Like, to me, it means overhauling a good chunk of it, like maybe even 50% of it or more, that you really had to redesign the costume. Then I'm okay with you like re-entering it again. Then it's like, okay, you brought something new to the table. Let's take a look at it.
If you want to show it off, have a really nice photo shoot done.
Yeah. Or just go stand in the middle of the convention center and have people flock to you.
No, please not in the middle. Stand off to the side so you don't block the traffic going in the convention center.
Everyone
Especially with the whole
bask in your
social
greatness.
distancing thing.
Particularly if you can get a group together, get a group of you going, then everybody will want to see you.
Oh, then you just stop traffic because the photos don't stop. And then you get to take a rest. Because everybody will come to you for about 10 to 15 minutes.
You think you get to rest, but you really don't get to rest.
Well, resting is the not moving.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Because as soon as you relax, somebody else is like, "Oh, can I take your picture?" Pose. Relax. Different pose. It just doesn't stop.
It never stops. Can't stop, won't stop. All right, so the next question is, does using patterns or a 3D printed file count as store-bought? The quick answer is no. Unless you bought the rifle that already 3D printed, then yeah, you store-bought it.
I would say if you bought the parts pre-printed, I'd count that as bought,
Yeah, sure.
even if you assembled it, because if you did the same thing in a store, if you bought a kit and assembled it, I'd still count it as store-bought.
Sure.
If you printed the parts, even if you bought the file, if you printed the parts yourself, I think that kind of gets into a gray area. If you created the print files, no.
No, then you're good there.
That's just like creating any other part of it.
See, I think of a 3D printed file the same way as I do as a sewing pattern, because you're still having to cut the fabric and sew it and piece it together and embellish it, embroider it, and blah, blah, blah. You're doing the same thing with a 3D printed object. If you just buy the file and then you make all the prints and then you sand it and put it together and blah, 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 blah. So I don't
I could
consider
see
that
that.
being store bought.
Yeah, if you bought the parts pre-finished, or if the only thing you had to do was sand it down and paint it, I think that's a different.
Yeah, then at that point I say, yeah, you bought the pieces, you got a kit and you put it together. I mean, you still had to do the work in putting it together and painting it and finishing it, sure, but you still had to buy those initial pieces. But if you just only got the printed file and you needed to do the rest of the work with printing it yourself and putting it together, then that's not store-bought to me. I know 3D printing is kind of a weird gray area for cosplayers because I have heard murmurs of some people saying, hey, if you're doing 3D printed, you need to design everything from scratch yourself, which I think is
I would not expect
crazy.
that.
I think that's crazy because that's a lot of time and energy and knowledge and work that even professionals are constantly learning and improving on. And to expect a new cosplayer to understand the programs and the software is way too much.
That's like saying if you want to enter a cosplay contest, you need to know how fabrics are made.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to weave your own fabric.
Which
I'm not going
is
to ask you that. No.
never. No, no,
No.
no. That's too much.
I mean, if you can do it, that's impressive.
That's impressive.
But that's not the expectation I think any judge would set.
So, there you go. Next question. How do I know which category to enter in?
I take it that's asking about skill level.
Skill level.
That's really hard.
It's a hard one to answer because it's going to vary from con to con. But I've noticed that they're starting to level out a little bit more in their category ranking. So, like if you're wanting to do the master's level, you have to have like 3 years of experience. You need to be like a professional or semi-professional costumer. You need to have won X number of awards. If you're a beginner, it's you've never done this before. This is your first time. This is your second time. You're still learning the ropes. You're a beginner.
The whole point of the ranking system is fairness. It's you are competing on as equal footing as we can manage against your peers, against similarly skilled peers. That's all. It's not meant to be a prejudgment on your skill ability or how we think that you'll do in the contest. We're trying to be fair.
Yeah, that's really all it comes down to. And if you're not very sure where you should enter, you can always enter the contest. Let the people know, hey, I don't know what category to put me in. They tell the judges, and the judges will make sure that you get set into the correct category so that way you're fairly judged amongst your peers.
And make sure to be honest
Yes.
if you are asked, how many contests have you been in? How many years have you been costuming or cosplaying? How many awards have you won? Be honest. Seriously, if it is found out that you have not been honest, then you can be blacklisted, not just at one convention, but when word spreads, others.
'Cause the cosplay community is still pretty tight-knit. We may be a big community now, but we're still pretty tight-knit on stuff like that.
Haha,
Okay.
tight knit.
Ha
Fabric
Not
joke.
intentioning that. And this is our last question. What should I do if I feel the contest wasn't judged fairly? And that's a
Oh,
big
every cosplayer's drama.
This is a sticky one. This is a really sticky one because this one has multiple answers. Okay, so the first big thing is you're probably going to feel the most hurt, insulted, unsure, maybe even angry immediately after the results because you're like, wait, I didn't think that was fair. Take a big deep breath and then do a couple more afterwards. Take some calming breaths. Mostly it's so you don't accidentally say something that you shouldn't say, that you don't accidentally insult people that may end up hurting you later on, because you don't know what happened in the judging room. You don't know how things were calculated. It may be that everything's completely fair, but there was something with the costume that you guys didn't see because stage presentation and what goes on in the judging room are two completely different animals. So first things first is take a bunch of calming breaths. Because that'll help out before you take the next
And
steps.
sleep on it.
Yes, definitely sleep on it. Don't take an immediate jump react gut reaction of, hey, this is not fair. I need to fix this now. Because at that point in the night, I can tell you the staff members are done. They just want to go home and sleep or go back to their rooms and sleep. The judges are done. They just want to get home out of their costumes and sleep. The contestants are done. Whatever happened, they're not going to resolve it right then and there. They need time to research and investigate.
And I will publicly admit that I have reacted poorly in public to at least one cosplay contest. I have stormed away from a contest once that I thought was unfair. I did not say anything, but I was very irritated. And I did end up complaining about it later, which I now regret. So definitely not only take those calming breaths, but, you know, distance yourself from the contest for a little while. Just put it out of mind as best as you can. Do something else. Get out of the costume, because that physical, psychological link, it does not help.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely sleep on it at least one night, if not two. I mean, you don't have to talk to the judges in person about it. So yes, if you sleep on it two nights, the convention is probably going to be over by that point. That is okay. But just chill.
Take a moment to really breathe and think about it. And if you still think, you know, hey, I don't think the contest was judged fairly, don't go blabbing about it on social media. Don't try to get a bunch of people in trouble. Go to the staff members first. Explain your concerns. Explain why you think something was a little bit amiss. You know, hey, I think these guys were really good friends with them, and I think they may have showed favoritism. I really would like to get this looked at. Because staff members will take your concerns very seriously, because they know that this affects the integrity of their contest and the integrity of the judges. So they want to make sure that they investigate thoroughly. So they may not have an answer for you immediately. It may take them a couple days. It may take them a couple of weeks, because they have to go through the rigmarole of checking and rechecking. If they have a scoring system, they got to count up the scores to make sure that was correct. And then that way they can kind of give you a response afterwards when they figure out, okay, what really happened, what didn't really happen.
And if there's video or pictorial evidence, they may have to review that as well. Mm-hmm. And that may take time.
I will say, in our entire experience and then in my judging experience, I've never run into an issue where we misjudged something, or, you know, if we played favoritism or anything like that. Like, that's never been an issue that I've ever ran into personally, because we do our best to judge fairly. I mean, if anything, if I know people who are entering, I already know what their skill level is. So I'm a little bit more aware of what they can and can't do. So when they shortcut something, I can call them out on it. So it actually works against them. It's not a good thing to be friends with judges, because we're actually a little bit more harsher for you.
It's also why we're not judges in our own contest.
Mm-hmm.
Contests we run, we do not judge. We get other people to judge. And we always try and make sure, at least on our end, and I can't speak for other cosplay coordinators, but I'm pretty sure that this is a common thing, is that we try and find really qualified judges.
Yes.
We're not going to pull judges that can't judge the quality of a costume and the level of skill of a cosplayer visually, because that's the vast majority of what judging is you have to be able to look at a costume and judge the skill level of the candidate. Just looking at various things, you have to have some basic knowledge of all the different disciplines in cosplay. And not only that, but since this is a judging where awards are being handed out, we also try and get judges who have also won awards, because it means they have a certain skill level. Generally, people want to be judged either by peers or people who are more skilled than them. So we also try and satisfy that requirement as well, just to make sure that everything is on the level, everything is fair. And when the judges give their awards, they also tell you why they thought this.
Mm.
So we're also being very transparent about why we thought this person won.
Yeah, I would say the things that you should not be doing is immediately start going on social media and blasting everybody and questioning credibility left and right, or trying to spam other conventions saying, hey, don't invite this person because they're a bad judge and here's the reasons why, without giving the convention a chance to actually research it and present their findings, because then you're putting the credibility of the convention and the judges on the line, and even your credibility. Because if they turn around and say, hey, here's what we found, judging was fine, then you've put yourself out there, and some cons may be like, well, I don't want this person entering my contest if they're just going to immediately turn around and complain if they don't win an award. So, I mean, you got to be very careful about this stuff. I mean, we want to make sure that everything is as fair as it can possibly be. And if you have a genuine concern, the staff will listen to it. Absolutely. but you also need to be calm, you need to be respectful, you need to be polite, and you need to give the staff time to do the proper research.
And if you have any evidence, make sure that you provide that to back up your claims, because if something is actually proven to have gone wrong, and it has at conventions, then the conventions will generally rectify it quickly and publicly.
Absolutely. See, there you go. That's a heavy question to end on.
I
We need a
know.
random dumb question. Chat, give us a dumb question, please. We want a simple, easy question. Waverod asks, what's the most awesome costume you've ever seen? That's a
Speaking
rough
of
one.
hard questions.
I know that's a really tough question, but it's good answers.
Usually the most awesome ones I've ever seen, I don't get to see in person because they're always at these large conventions. Usually the big conventions like San Diego Comic-Con, BlizzCon, DragonCon, New York Comic-Con, World Cosplay Summit, all the World Cosplay Championships. Those are the ones with the big prizes, like $1,000, $2,000, $10,000. And contestants go all out for those contests, not just for the prize, but because they also have the biggest audiences in the world. And those are some seriously impressive costumes that I would love to see in person.
Well, let's limit the scope then. Let's focus on only the contests that we've either judged at or at contests that we've run.
I haven't been to very many. That would almost pretty much limit it to a con, a fest, and then everything we've run.
I know what mine is.
I honestly can't think offhand of one.
My favorite one, and his was 150% store-bought, was the guy who was all the Marvel Avengers.
Oh, that, yes.
He was just incredible and funny, and he just owned every second of his genius. It just, I couldn't stop laughing. It was the best one I've ever seen. And it was so simple too, because he just bought a little bit of every single costume and slapped it on. It was awesome.
You know, I think I'll go on the other side of this because I'm not a dramatic person. I'm actually really introverted in person, if you've ever met me. So I would like to give props to The Mask from last year and Bob's Burgers from the year before that, just for the sheer performance aspect. I want to say that that was the first cosplay contest for both of those entrants.
Not for Bob,
And
no, because I know
it
him.
wasn't for Bob? Okay. But they knocked the pants off of those performances. That was amazing. And the costumes were not complicated. Remember the whole simple costume thing? Let's bring it back around.
Right?
Their performances were so good. They were solid.
All three of
And the
them won
costumes were
awards.
still, they did. The costumes were still well made and well executed. That put them over the top. And I remember those.
Bob's Burgers is the best. I remember Peyton's award and she drew a burger on it. It was great.
I just remember it was such a simple performance. Like, it was all about showing the burgers, but
Burger.
it was great.
And that's all it really needed, and it was just perfect like that. Simple costumes are amazing, guys. Embrace it.
Just leave it all out on the stage, as they say in theater.
There you go.
I mean, yes, you could make a fool of yourself, but you could also win an award for making a
A
fool of
fool of
yourself.
yourself. And that's actually part of my presentation was you need to go big and bold because you want the people at the back of the room or the auditorium to see you. And the only way to do that is to have these grand gestures. And sometimes that's what you gotta do to make a big fool of yourself because you're gonna feel dumb the entire time you're doing it. But if you feel dumb, you're doing it right.
We so do it right. Like,
And we're just in this one little space. Yay, okay, we ended on a good question. Thank you, Waverod.
yay.
Appreciate that.
Well, with that, we will bring a close to this episode 209 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you would like to tell us the most awesome costume you've seen, or if you have tips of your own on cosplay contests, please join the discussion on any of our social media, which you can find here.
In the corner underneath Amber on her right side. I don't know which side I'm on. I had to turn around to figure it out.
And if you'd like to give us directions on where our social media is via email,
it's over
you
there.
Can also email us podcast@cosplay.org.
Her right, this left. There you go.
Stage right. Otherwise, we hope everybody is staying happy, safe, and healthy. Happy cosplaying, everybody. We will see you in episode 210. Bye-bye.